You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
In this film firing around. There's like more than your average Fast and the Furious film, I think.
I felt like there was an inordinate amount of re-bulleting. Is that the thing?
Re-bulleting?
Yeah, I just made that up.
I don't think it's a thing at all.
Is that some sort of
recoil? You mean like recoil?
No, I think I meant reloading, but that's okay.
There you go.
Well, you're going to make it a thing. Make it re-bulleting. Yeah, no, that's your jam right now. That's your thing.
It sounds like it's part of a DJ name.
They did reload the guns, though. That I at least give this movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot more dialogue in here than there actually are gunshots fired, but there's a lot of gunshots fired. We're talking about Free Fire, by the way, which you would presume from the start is either about a fire burning out of control or about a bunch of people shooting at each other. And it is the latter. This is the latest film from director-writer Ben Wheatley, who's definitely kind of a cult festival figure as far as director-writers go, having done such movies like recently High Rise. This is definitely like one of just a few of the action comedy vein he's done. The previous one I'd say would be Sightseers, which is maybe my
like
favorite
a dark
one
humor.
By him. But this one is one of his first ones with really with really big stars. The premise, simple enough as it is that there are two sides meeting in a warehouse to do a gun deal, and said gun deal goes wrong because some of the lackeys are completely useless, incompetent people who had previously gotten into a bar fight with each other, and they can't control themselves, and everybody starts shooting at each other. And along the way, sides change. People can't decide who they're actually friends with and who they're not friends with. People die, and then they're not really dead, but then they are. All sorts of fun stuff. But when you have a cast like Brie Larson, Sholto Copley, Armie Hammer, Cillian Murphy, Jack Raynor, a bunch of other people who I don't know, Noah Taylor. I mean, that's a solid cast. My one real problem with this ultimately was I couldn't understand a lot of things people were saying.
Really?
Yeah, it was, and maybe it was because I saw it at the Paramount, which has famously not so great speakers.
The speakers suck at Paramount.
But I was like, huh? It was just a little echoey enough, especially with people firing over dialogue at points. I was like, yeah, I don't know what
Chris, no, it's because the Irish are completely incomprehensible.
And
hey
there's
now.
That.
All right, okay.
Hey,
understand
hey,
that. And Sharto Copley, which I don't know what the hell he was saying at the time, but I was like, I like it because I like the South African
the
accent.
English, South
it sounds funny.
I don't understand. I'm notorious in my group of friends. A, I'm hard of hearing in one ear, and so I'm pretty deaf in one ear. And any songs I can tell you the beat to, but I never know the words. I understood every word in this.
Oh, well, like I said, you saw it in a different theater, though.
Yeah,
so it may have been that.
Theater.
Hey, but I will say this. We saw Sholto Copley speaking afterwards, and I couldn't understand everything he was saying on stage either.
True.
So it could have been – it all had to be the theater, right?
Yeah.
He was like 10 feet from me, and I was like, what?
He says everything through his nose. You know, it's just – it's all
very,
coming out
very
there.
Very nasally.
Yeah, pretty much.
But he's adorable.
He was actually one of my favorite characters.
No, he's one of my favorite characters, too.
That mustache
too.
Is so cute.
Oh, okay, so we're talking about Vern.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Vern.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely one of my favorite characters.
I mean, if there's sides here, you've got Sholto Copley on one side is Vernon, who's the guy who's selling the guns. And you have Cillian Murphy on the other side. He's an IRA guy who's buying the guns. This is taking place sometime maybe, I think, the late 70s or something.
77, I believe.
A-track.
And then kind of in the middle, like sort of people who facilitated are Brie Larson and Armie Hammer.
And Armie Hammer was, I thought he stole this show, personally.
I love everybody has a very distinctive fashion style to them.
Absolutely.
And just a thing that they're into. And he's kind of like this
He was too cool for any school.
He was metrosexual. Metrosexual for the 70s.
Yeah. Like, he had a turtleneck. He was the one guy with a turtleneck, right?
And beard oil.
He needed scotch the entire time.
Yeah.
Like. Well done. Yes. Yes.
He was like an Archer prototype.
Yeah.
It's just like, you're not an Archer yet, but you're still not as rude or as incompetent. Like, you're okay.
If Ron Burgundy on Valium decided to be a drug lord.
Yes.
Yeah. If anything, he's the most reasonable person in this whole crowd. Him and Brie Larson are the two most reasonable. And, you know, he's always like, guys, why are we doing this? And she's always like, for fuck's sakes, I thought you guys all liked me. Why are you shooting me? And, like, within the first 10 minutes, almost everybody has a bullet in their leg or their shoulder.
Oh, they wasted no time with that. Am I the only one that thought it was, like, the Three Stooges with guns?
Oh, it totally was supposed to be, though.
Okay, see, I don't know. I didn't know the backstory, but it just, that's the first thing.
That it's so absurd that these people, everybody is wounded and can't really get away quickly, so that they're all kind of forced to talk to some point with each other. And even at the point where suddenly there's more people who come in and are shooting, and no one knows who they are.
And they all sort of take a mutual break at one point where they're just like, okay, smoke them if you got them. Just like, let's chill for a second, and then we'll start shooting each other again.
One thing I enjoyed about the movie, though, it wasn't just full of tough guys and tough girls. It was a bunch of individuals, which is maybe why everything went south, because it was full of individuals. But I love the fact that they all had their own distinct character. And they did have, for a bunch of... criminals, they seem to all have a bunch of heart.
Partially because there's so much detail given to all their characters, which is much more than you get in your average action film. That being said, I felt like if there was a problem I had, this movie starts to sort of make deeper connections between these people as people, but never really goes there. There's always the feel that there's something more happening between Brie Larson and Cillian Murphy's character, but it never really solidifies into anything you can understand. Armie Hammer seems to have a relationship where there's a back history with Charlotte Copley, but I don't know what it is.
There was a moment I was like, okay, did I miss something?
Yeah.
Are they brothers?
And for a movie that's so dialogue heavy, considering that there's almost nonstop shooting in this thing, it's also extremely dialogue heavy. It's weird that we didn't get that type of information.
Some sort of connection.
It was more like everybody was very colorful and funny, but never detailed to the point where I really cared that much about them.
But I also think that's the point. It's like, I think this movie is just supposed to be fun and over the top, and it's going to be focusing on the humor and the violence. Like, if you want to delve deep into, like, this character's backstory, then the movie becomes too long at that point. It's like, then it's like, this is like, what, 90 minutes? So it's like, that's pretty good. It's like, if this went over like 2 hours,
it's pretty lean.
Like, that'd be a little much for me. So I could forgive it for having these characters, which are, you know, quote unquote paper thin. That's fine with me. As long as they had big personalities and they all look distinctly different from each other.
I think that's exactly what it is trying to achieve. There's just people who are certain colors, essentially. Like, there's a blue guy, here's a red guy. Like, that's all they need to be, because the movie's just like, we're just gonna have fun for a hot 85 minutes, because like 90 with credits. And after I've been playing a bunch of 80-hour RPGs, I'm cool with just spending an hour in the theater and having people shoot at each other. Gotta put that plug in.
I know, man.
Dude, that is an amazing way to put it with the colors. I'm just sitting there, and each one of them did represent a color. That was awesome, dude.
Yeah, it's even though I was like racist.
That's what I had to say, red and blue. I was like, people are not red and blue.
Whatever, man. The Bolians get their feelings hurt just like anybody else. Ooh, deep cut Star Trek reference. Suck it.
Deep Space
that
Nine
went way over
nonsense.
My head.
I know, it's okay though. I think some people might make a mistake of going into this expecting more of an action film, and some of the trailers misled that they were going into an action film. This isn't an action film. It's a comedy that has, it's a comedy that has action that just so happens to be going on around it. You know, it's much more about the dialogue. When people are getting shot, it's not like a, ooh, it's more like a funny thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I thought it had a great balance between action and comedy myself, and me not really liking good movies. We all know that by now. you know, like, I was like, okay, so it's funny, ha ha ha. But then it's like, oh, seeing people like get shot repeatedly, and they're just like, ah, fuck. You know, that was great. I liked it a lot. I liked the violence.
And just the whole, like, somebody shoots somebody just because they get mildly irritated with them. It's like, hey, I'm on your side, asshole. It's like, yeah, well, you're being a dick.
It's just like, yeah, you're being a dick now. So I'm going to shoot my comrade at arms, you know?
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me of, you know, an Edgar Wright film, like back in the day when he was making good movies.
Sky, he was not a Baby Driver fan for the record.
Or the last film that he made. I didn't get to see Baby Driver.
Yeah,
so.
it was disappointing as hell.
I don't believe
it. So, like, when you can sit, like, Hot Fuzz.
No, I love Hot Fuzz. Okay. Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, Scott Pilgrim are awesome. But everything post that, no, I've not been a fan. But I will say one of the other things I really appreciate about the film is that how everyone gets shot, but they don't, like, die, like, automatically in, like, so many action films. Like, no, you could last, like, for a few hours, even, like, a day, even though you have, like, a couple bullets in you. Like, I thought that was pretty refreshing. We don't often see that.
I mean, there's even one character who, like, pretty much the first guy you assume, because people do die in this, but the first guy who dies, like, three-quarters of the way through the film, he's suddenly like, just dead. Stands up. Yeah. And he's clearly, I mean, the guy's got a headshot. So he doesn't know what's happening. He's like very weird. You don't know to the degree to which he's brain damaged, but he's like walking around shooting at people and talking kind of gibberish. And they're like, what the fuck?
At one point,
his fear filter was gone by the time he'd come back. He's like, I've seen the other side. Yep. Bring it.
Yeah. Well, at one point, he's like, I'm not dead. I'm just resetting. And I'm just like, that part was great. Yeah. Seeing what the human body could take was really interesting. You usually don't see that, especially in like ultraviolet films, like violent films like this one, where you're just, you know, usually it's like, oh, I'm shot in the gut. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm dead now. But
either
this
that
one
or
is
you
not
live,
this.
Live really, really ridiculously longer than you should. Yeah. It's one or the other. You're either like, oh, shoulder wound, I'm dead. Or it's like, oh, I got shot 18 times, but I'm still going to make it to the end of the tarmac.
Well, it depends where you're shot in the body. I mean, that's the thing.
They actually adjust that.
They were like, hey, you didn't get hit here. You're fine for at least an hour and a half.
Didn't hit Dario.
There's definitely
you're fine.
A lot of bad shooting. One of my favorite parts was when, is it Shredo Copley? Vern was like shooting one-handed and Armie Hammer's like, shoot with both hands, Vern.
He's like annoyed with his incompetence the entire movie. And I love it. I love that Armie Hammer, Ord, I think is his name, is just so... The only one who is like, I've been here before, this is how you do it. In the entire setup of the film, he's like, I'm going to do this, don't worry. And it's just like, I rarely see that kind of character at the beginning of Before Things Break Down, someone who's like, I've already thought about this, it's okay.
He's
like,
so aggravated with everyone else's incompetence here.
That's just his Tuesday. As far as I'm concerned, he's like, this is Tuesday, why y'all acting weird?
He's like, everything would have been fine if I wasn't with this bunch of idiots. Like, if I had just dealt with people who knew what they were doing, I would have been out of here already. Yep. This all would have been done, but now I might actually die because these people are too stupid to know how not to die themselves.
Oh, him taking a smoke break in the middle of a gunfight is beautiful. He just pops back. Another example of this is midweek. Smoke him if you got him.
Yeah, right. Well, let's go to final thoughts. And with that, let me introduce our new friend here, Jacob. Jacob, you are a stand-up comedian, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for having me, though. I had a good time, and I enjoyed the heck out of the movie. I really did.
Right on. I'm glad we got you into a good, a free movie.
Right. Yeah,
her first couple experiences were
not so good with that.
So what are we doing?
We're going to final thoughts.
Oh, I was all like just sitting here staring. I didn't want to monopolize the conversation. I didn't want to be the comic who's like, give me 45 minutes on the mic. I'm good.
Robin Williams is here. Robin Williams. Yeah. Hey, come on, Jacob. We'll get you next week.
He's been shot in the head. Now he's back. He's a survivor, Beyonce style. I thought the movie was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. If you guys want to go see something that's fun and action-packed, go watch the movies. As far as I'm concerned, I give it two booms and a bang.
There you go.
Yep.
Christopher Herrmann.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the film. I'm kind of right there with everybody else. I thought great action. Comedy it's really well written. Like all the performances were solid. Like I didn't feel like there was any weak like performer, and even someone, you know, the people who lead the picture early on, they all get like their one moment. And I just want to say, I just want to shout out, to Armie Hammer, who I think has just had like, you know, past few years, like a rough, you know, career overall. It's like this, I think he should stick with these kind of roles, smaller roles, but he gets something to obviously do and to showcase his talent, especially with humor. It's like, wow, stick to this kind of stuff. So yeah, for me, I'd probably give this, 8.5, I don't know, brain mattered scalps.
Nice.
Patience.
I loved it. I actually liked this movie, believe it or not.
Wow, and this was a good movie.
I know, this was what would be considered a good movie. So there you go. No, I liked it. I thought that, like I said before, there was a great balance between violence and comedy. Great cast. And seriously, there's so many great characters. It's hard to choose one except for when it's Armie Hammer, because he was definitely my favorite. I agree with Herman. And I'm glad he's making a comeback from horrible things like Lone Ranger. Yep. And I liked Man from U.N.C.L.E., but whatever. I give it 8.5 dirty syringes out of 10. Mm-hmm.
God, Jonathan Rowe.
That scared me, by the way. Just like seeing that, I was like, his life is done.
Yep.
I have to repeat what they said actually about Armie Hammer. He's in that category of like what you saw as just an attractive man, and that's all he's going to be. But he can be funny. So, like, I'm putting him in the Channing Tatum and Zac Efron role. Been rooting for them forever. Nice. So I'm glad to see he's doing pretty good. Love Cillian Murphy, love Brie Larson. Everybody in this movie is, I think, perfect. I think they do exactly what they're supposed to do. And, again, it may be because I've spent so long in games that take forever that I really appreciate the fact that this movie is like, we're just going to be 85 minutes. We're here to do this. We're going to do it rock solid all the way through, and we're not going to waste your time. And I really appreciate that. It's a great palate cleanser. So I have to give it 9 out of 10 John Denver singles.
Yeah, it's kind of Reservoir Dogs if it wasn't a comedy. Or if it wasn't, if it was a comedy and didn't have action flashbacks. Yeah. It's just the great scene in the garage.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good
Reservoir Dogs is a great.
It's lean. It's mean. It clearly didn't cost a fortune to make either, because why would it? There's one set. Yeah. They're in this big old warehouse that I can't imagine cost a lot to rent out, because it's a shithole. But it's perfect. I imagine I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Wheatley saw this place and was like, I'm writing a script right now for this place, because I think this is awesome enough I could do that. This is a solid film. I think it's going to be really enjoyable for me to revisit as well once I kind of get a little bit more distance from it and watch it with subtitles again the second time.
Yeah.
I mean, I still felt like it's not quite there. This is almost there when you have a film as dialogue heavy as this. And I feel that way about a lot of Ben Wheatley's. I love them, but they're not quite ready for the big time. It's like, you're almost there, kid. Mm. You got talent, I can see, but you ain't ready for the big time. Wheatley is so close that he's almost, this is the closest he's been yet, but is still not quite there. Just needed a little bit of a slicker pass, somebody to come in and like fix and tweak a little things here and there. And I think this would have been something that could have played a big wide release.
Stop the shaky camera.
Indeed.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, this is still really, really fun. The cast is so good. The chemistry between all these characters is wonderful. There's lots of unexpected moments for a movie that's largely, like I said, one set with the same location, people shooting at each other and talking. It keeps you your attention wrapped. I give this 8 out of 10 times Sharlto Copley screamed like a girl.
Which is often.
Which he did a lot. Yeah.